values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show, KTAR News, 92.3 FM, and the KTAR News app.
Thanks for being here. We've continued to talk about the border many times, talked about it earlier this morning and the struggles that are going on. A couple of things to discuss. First of all, let's go over some of the headlines. Scottsdale will become first Arizona city to train staff to identify human trafficking victims. That is by Taylor Tassler over at KTAR News. Also, we know the city of Glendale preparing for the Super Bowl. Why? Because human trafficking for big events like that brings that to town. It is a horrible thing to think of when Super Bowl or Waste Management Phoenix Open, whatever it is, when you have big events like that, this is part of the underbelly of what follows. Law enforcement being prepared for that is amazing. Now, if you say to yourself that's not connected to the border, you're wrong. You can't blame the border 100% for it. You're absolutely right about that. But if you don't think that human trafficking, sex trafficking of young girls isn't happening at the southern border of the United States in huge numbers, you're wrong. Because it absolutely is. It absolutely is. Nearly 1 million fentanyl pills seized from Avondale home. Largest bust in Phoenix police history happened. And it's happening across the country. The idea that I have to defend, and I'm gonna because I think it's necessary, but that I have to bothers me. Reading off those headlines does not mean that I believe that everyone that's coming across our border is either bringing fentanyl or is a human trafficker or is a murderer or a rapist. I don't believe any of those things. But to ignore that that is what is coming over our border right now, and there is no differentiation between the good people that are here that deserve and are seeking asylum and the people that are coming over here saying the words asylum, but know they have no legitimate claim, and people that are sneaking into the country that have no consideration of dealing with the government at all, but sneaking into this country through an open border and committing crimes, there is no distinction being made. Everyone crossing our border right now is being called a migrant. Some of them aren't. Some of them are criminals. There is a woman in the West Valley who has made over $1 million smuggling people into the country, getting $15,000 a person. There was a big thing that we were seeing in the news a long time ago, and I know they have not gone away. I just don't know why there isn't really a lot of coverage in it, is drop houses. See, there's a different tactic being employed. What used to happen was you had to be brought into the country illegally. They were sneaking into the country, hiding out, and then going to work under the table. So we came up with E-Verify so that everybody had to have a social security number. And that was one way to stop, take away the incentive for people to come here was you were coming here for work. You're not going to find any. And anybody that was hiring somebody that was in the country illegally, that employer was taken to task very seriously with fines. So that addressed that situation. Well, we all know, we all understand, I think, intellectually, that of all the people crossing the border, the people that are coming here just to work, I'm not saying it's right, but they pose the least threat. The bigger threat are the criminals, the human traffickers, the drug dealers, the gun runners. Those are the people that pose the biggest threat. So what did we deal with? We deal with the least threat, least threatening among them. That's what we did. So they change their tactics now. Now what they are using is they are using American laws against us. They know what to say to apply for asylum. There is a certain amount of time that we have by our laws. Federal agents have a certain amount of time to process these people through a hearing. They're given court dates. They're given monitoring devices. They're given the ability to stay in America while they're awaiting that court date. And so they're staying at times extended periods of time, a few years. We all know what's going to happen with that. But along with this immense push of human traffic that's come across, with people making false asylum claims, means the border is still wide open to the illegalities that happen because of the cartels. If there's anybody out there on either side of this conversation that thinks I'm wrong about any of that, please tell me where I'm wrong. I'm right so far about the assessment. That while the federal agents are doing their duty and processing people through the asylum process, they cannot do their jobs of patrolling the border and stopping criminals. Criminals are coming in, and local police, as far north of the border as Phoenix, are finding millions of fentanyl pills because they're not being interdicted at the border. That's part of the issue. You've got training going on. This has been going on for years. It's not just a border issue, but it's despicable. It's disgusting. It is horrifying. And that is preying upon young people. I've talked about these predators before. If you and I were driving in a car late at night and we saw a young person, but in this case, a young girl, because that's where I'm going with this story, a young girl on the side of the road with her emergency flashers on because she had a flat tire. Most of us would say, oh my gosh, I'm going to at least pull over to make sure she's got a cell phone to call someone, her parents or someone to let them know what's going on. And I'm going to see if I can't help her change her tire and make sure she's safe. Most of us would do that. That's not the mind of the people that they're dealing with, the people that are bringing people across the border. These coyotes, these people that are preying upon them, what they see is an opportunity to take advantage of a young woman and force her into the sex trade and have an opportunity to make a lot of money at the expense of another human life. And if you think it's an isolated thing, it isn't. You have to open your eyes. It is such a serious problem. Phoenix PD just made big busts, and it's not all connected to the border. I've got to keep defending myself, but it is partially a border issue. Phoenix Police Department makes a big bust. The FBI has been involved in these busts locally. Scottsdale is training all of its staff to recognize it because Scottsdale is a destination, whether it's Old Town or big events to come to Scottsdale, Waste Management, Phoenix Open, whatever it is. The city of Glendale prepping for the Super Bowl. For what specifically? Sex trafficking, human trafficking. And here we argue and argue and argue about DeSantis and Abbott and Ducey. And that's where your horror lies, because politically speaking, I hate what they're doing. I hate those people. Headlines say they're being preyed upon. They have been preyed upon long before they meet one member of the United States, one citizen. They are preyed upon long before that. And we have to understand that the policies of our federal government, because this is a federal issue, are continuing to allow this to happen. And it isn't going to be Republicans like me screaming at the federal government to do something about it that's going to get it done, because they're never going to listen to me. They're not in my political party. They're never getting my vote. Therefore, they don't care what I think. And that's not a bad thing. That is an observation of how politics works. They speak to people that are on their side or people that can be convinced to be on their side. So independent voters and Democrat voters need to be saying to this administration, no administration's fixed it. No political party has ever fixed it. But you're in charge now. So you're the one that's got to get something done, and your policies need to change. So far, that hasn't happened, but I'm hoping it does as more and more evidence comes out about how horrible it is there. All right. If you're new to the show, please stick around, because every day at 11:20, we have a segment of the show called Did You Hear This? We catch you up on the biggest news stories of the day. And on Mondays, we cover the big news stories of the weekend as well. So it's going to be a busy part of the show coming up in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, busy news weekend, busy news day. Let's get caught up. Did you hear this?
Did you hear this? Broomhead's reaction to the hottest news stories.
Over the weekend, President Biden spoke about the price of gas around the country.
And in 41 states, plus the District of Columbia, the average gasoline price is less than $2.99.
According to AAA, the national average for regular gas is $3.72. Do Biden's comments bother you?
Well, yeah, they bother me because they were misguided. Either he lied or he really didn't know, one or the other, and neither is good. Either he is completely out of touch, and he doesn't drive. He won't drive again until he's out of office, and even then, I don't think he'll ever drive again. I think he'll be driven wherever he goes. I don't know when the last time he paid for gas was, and I'm not one of those people that ask the gotcha question, hey, how much is a gallon of milk? That kind of, I don't do that. But you have to, when you're going out and giving a speech about prices, you have to be accurate, especially when you're president of the United States. You appear to be completely out of touch with what's happening in the reality for the American people. It may have been a mistake. There are those that are saying it was just a lie. Either way, it was wrong. And he's the president of the United States. When you make a statement like that, you have to be right. And he wasn't.
KTAR legal analyst Monica Lindstrom joined the show and discussed Arizona's abortion ban and how it is affecting medical providers.
The law says that if we're involved in this or we perform an abortion and it's not for the mother's life, then we can be prosecuted criminally, we could have a felony, they could go to prison, and they could lose their license.
Does the law need to be updated?
I think the law needs to be updated. And again, I'm a pro-life person. I believe that it is a life inside the womb, and it should be protected by the Constitution as if it was outside the womb. That's my personal opinion. I think that is solely what it is. It's not about controlling women's bodies. So we have always argued, and we will continue to argue on the issue of abortion when life begins. But you have a law going back to 1864 that can possibly be comprehensive enough in today's political and medical world that we live in. So I think the legislature, not knowing that this was going to pass or was going to be sent back to the states, passed a law at 15 weeks saying it doesn't supersede old laws. Well, now that we've seen this, maybe they've got to put it in there and get an updated law. They can, I think if they keep it the way it is right now, whatever. But they've got to do something updated. We can't default back to a law that goes back to our territorial days. It should be updated. You are listening to Did You Hear This? We do it every day at this time to get you caught up on the biggest headlines.
This past Friday, the Phoenix Police Department had its biggest opioid seizure in history.
More than 1 million fentanyl pills likely destined for the streets. Fentanyl is considered 50 times more potent than heroin, and authorities say they have seized enough fentanyl this year alone to kill everyone in the United States.
What is the solution to keeping fentanyl out of the country?
Well, there's two things. First of all, it's awareness. There was a big poll that was out that young people, eighth graders and younger, most of them have no idea what fentanyl is. Well, they need to know that if they're going to go to parties, if they're going to experiment, if they're going to take something that their friends give them, there is a chance that it could be laced with this drug and it can and what might kill them, or it might kill a friend. And so this should be awareness, first of all. Second of all, we've got to do something about where fentanyl is coming in. 70% of the supply of fentanyl in this country is coming across the southern border of Arizona. So we need to do something in conjunction with the federal government to stem that supply as much as possible. So it's awareness, and I also think it's got to be more security and more help from the federal government.
A new survey shows how inflation may affect holiday shopping.
About 40% of people in a new bank rate survey say they're going to buy fewer gifts this holiday season because of inflation. A similar number said they'll be looking for more savings and discounts.
What concerns you with the survey's results?
You know, Black Friday was the term that was used for decades because the day after Thanksgiving, which is a Friday, every year was the day that classically kicked off the holiday spending season, where businesses in the retail world got into the black just in that short amount of time. They would drive down prices, they would give people deals, they would clear their shelves and their warehouses with people buying items then. People are starting much earlier now, but when people say, I'm either going to make gifts or I'm going to cut back on what I buy, I'm going to, you know, all these other things, the retail industry's got to be very worried. Supply chain issues have made them weaker. There have been a lot of things that made this a weak industry, and now if they have a bad holiday season, how damaging could it be for the industry and some specific companies that probably won't make it? All right, that's Did You Hear This for another day. We'll do it again tomorrow morning. Good job, Julia, as always. We'll do it tomorrow morning at 11:20. And we're going to talk a little bit more in depth about that bank rate survey. We speak often with Kristen Bentz. She's a wealth of information, KB Advisory Group. She's local, but internationally known, especially nationally known on other business networks. And she warned us about this last time she was on a week or so ago. We're already seeing it, people shopping earlier. But what are the effects as gas prices tick up, heating oil, what's it going to mean to people in northern Arizona and states in the northern part of the country that are going to become very, very cold soon? Why we get a reprieve from high energy bills because we will cool off. Other parts of the country are going to get hammered with higher prices. What does all of that mean? We're going to talk about specifics in the economy coming up next.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right. A little Earth, Wind, and Fire, correct? How do I know? How do I know? I am a wealth of useless information. As a matter of fact, that's what we should just call this show. I can't find my keys, ever, but I am a wealth. I can remember song lyrics and songs going back to my childhood. I remember my phone number in the first house I remember living in Newberry, Ohio. But if I don't put my car keys in my baseball cap, I can't find them anywhere in the house. See what you got to look forward to, Julie, as you get older? That's what's going to happen. That's coming your way.
Can't wait.
All right, let's talk about the economy. I'm going to update this number. Let me update the numbers. More bad news over happy music. Oof. Right now, the Dow is down 344 points today. We are at 29,245. 1 year ago, our 1 year high, 52 week high, was 36,952, just under 37,000. So we are looking at a really difficult time. I've explained why I believe that is. The people out there that are in the know, the ones that make these decisions, are projectors. They are not reactors. So they look at where they believe everything is going. And that's where this is most concerning to me. If the Fed had raised the rates 0.75 point last week, and that was it. They had said, we believe that this is going to have the intended effect and that we should see a leveling off of inflation. And we're hoping that this leveling off of inflation will then lead to a decrease in inflation. And we should be in a pretty good place going into the end of the year and the beginning of 2023. That's not what they said. They said this 0.75 point is not the end. We've got another rate increase probably coming this year, probably more in 2023. And so people in the know are saying, whoa, if we haven't hit the bottom yet, where's bottom? Where is the worst? Where is it? Can we say this is where we start climbing out? And I think that for the decision makers, the Dow Jones is not the end all be all. There's the NASDAQ and the S&P and worldwide markets and everything else. But the Dow is the big indicator in America. And when it's down this many points, it's because of projections, not where we are. Where they believe we're going. That's what worries me. When you have a bank rate survey that says there are so many people that are saying, I'm going to decrease the amount of money I spend for holidays. I'm going to be cashing in my credit card rewards. I'm going to be thinking creatively. I'm going to shop earlier. I'll make my own gifts. I'll do all of these things. Now, what happens moving forward if home prices continue to fall? And I'll be honest, I'm pretty honest about what I believe. I've talked to a lot of experts, and I haven't heard one expert yet say we're looking at a crash here in Arizona in housing. Not heard one expert say that. Softening, absolutely. Interest rates going up, but you're going to see more people that it's going to balance out where more people are qualifying for homes because the price is down a little bit. But there's going to be an area there where it's tough because of the higher interest rates. But you're still going to see people buying homes. Home prices have dropped nationally. So has rent rates have dropped nationally, but it's still a serious issue here. I don't think we're going to see a crash in the housing market, but you are seeing a softening. When you see interest rates that were around 3%, now they're over 6%. And here's the other thing. It's perspective. And it depends on who you speak to. If you're probably, I'm going to say if you're 30 years old and you have bought a house, you really don't know interest rates were that high. I mean, in the time frame when you were looking at them and trying to buy a home or even interested in it. You're looking at rates that were below 5% and things were going well. And now you're seeing rates over 6% and they're saying they might be higher than that. I'm talking about mortgage rates. Then you talk to somebody that's a little bit older than you that remembers when 8.5% to 10% was a good mortgage rate. And then you look at people that bought homes in the 1970s where they're talking about rates of 12, 14, 15% like credit cards and interest rates that high. So it is about perspective. I believe. I think a lot of it is perspective. It is perception. But this bank rate survey is interesting of what's happening in the holidays. For consumers, for people like you and I, it is how much do I feel comfortable spending? There are two things that are going to have an effect on spending outside of just how much money you have in the bank. One is, do you believe that your job is secure? Because if so, and you're able to pay your bills right now, you might put gifts on a credit card. Because, all right, listen, I want to have Christmas for my kids. We don't have a whole lot of money in the bank, but I know I can pay my bills. So let's put it on a card and we'll get through Christmas and hopefully next year is going to be better. The other part of it is, if you've been using your credit cards to pay for necessities, if you're not in a place that's financially secure where the salary that you're bringing in, or both of you, if there are two working parents in the home, are bringing in, if you're worried that you can't cover your monthly nut with your salaries, and you're having to put gas every once in a while, you're putting gas on a credit card, or you're putting food on a credit card, and you're thinking, man, I can't in good conscience max my credit card out on Christmas gifts. You know, I've got to worry about, I might need that line of credit. You know, there's a limit on my credit card. I've got a $1,500 limit. I got a $2,000 limit on this card, and I can't put $600 in Christmas gifts on here. I might need that $600 to stay afloat. Those two concerns for American families, A, are real, but B, they are also what might prevent people from taking any chances. And I think that's part of the reaction of what we're seeing on the stock market. And I just hope it gets better for people. Bankrate is saying, this survey is saying, that people are looking for creative ways to still have a holiday season. I've never been a doom and gloom person. When I talk about this topic, I mention it a lot because I believe America is still the greatest country in the world. I really do. I'm not someone that is looking to jump out a window, so to speak. I believe that when you see people out there that are that big of a denier of American greatness, it's that fear. And I'm not that fearful. It will come back. It's just going to be bad. And you have to acknowledge it. It's going to be tough for a lot of people in the meantime. Here are a couple of the headlines. The gas price thing I talked about, the president saying that the average gas prices are below $2.99 a gallon in 41 states is actually not true. Maybe he was supposed to say $3.99 a gallon, but he didn't, and that's really difficult. But we are also seeing the approval rating for the president sinks below 40%, according to a poll. An ABC Washington poll of over 1,000 adults, 908 of whom were registered voters, reported that 53% of respondents disapproved of Biden's job performance, while only 39 approved. He has a less than 40% approval rating. And it's directly connected to the economy. The average person doesn't sit around and do it. Maybe you do. I know I have to because of my job. You look at the president in the totality of the president's performance. How's he done on the border? How's he doing on the economy? What is he doing here? What about this? The average American looks at what's happening right now and sees gas prices through the roof, watching interest rates go up. They're watching their 401k lose money for the first time in years, that their 401k is dropping in value instead of increasing in value. And they're looking at all of this and saying, what the heck is going on? Now, you may not think it's fair. I keep hearing, listen to what we've heard. The Putin price hike. It's Trump's fault and the economy that we inherited. It's the supply chain issues because of COVID. It's because we have a food shortage because of wheat that comes out of Ukraine and Russia. All of these things that happen. All of them that happen. But in the end, the American voters are like, we elected you to do good things. It's the old question. Reagan asked a great question when he debated Jimmy Carter just days before the election in 1980. Carter was elected in 76, in 1980. And he looked at the camera and he said to the American people, if you're better off than you were 4 years ago, if it's easier to go to the store and buy things, if it's easier to find a job, if it's easier to put gasoline in your tank, then you have an option. And that was Jimmy Carter. Continue on with what we're doing. But if you're not, we are giving you a different path forward. And Reagan got elected. Now, this isn't a presidential year. It's a midterm year. But that would be the conversation I'd be having. I mean, if I were a Republican at all, running for any office, I would be saying the exact same thing, especially if I was Blake Masters. Again, I'm no campaign advisor. But if I were Blake Masters, that's what I'd be yelling at the camera. You better off? Are you better off than you were a few years ago? You know, the governor's race, if I were any, because that is what people care about. That is what people are most concerned about right now. It's that what they call the kitchen table issue of the day. All right, in a moment, we're going to talk about protests. We're going to talk about what's happening in Iran and how technology is helping them. And it's an indicator, I think, to me, it is what all of us in America should be looking at when it comes to fact-checking, when it comes to making sure that there is no disinformation or misinformation out there. This is a lesson to be learned for Americans from what's happening in another country across the world. We'll talk about it in just a couple of moments.
Strong values and strong opinions. The Mike Broomhead Show. KTAR News, 92.3 FM and the KTAR News app.
All right, a few minutes left. I want to highlight some things that we have. I talked earlier about this, the protest, 10 days of protest in Iran, as a young woman was killed by the morality police because she was not adhering. She was taken into custody for not adhering to the hijab rule, the law they have about having it being covered, your face and your hair being covered. So the morality police, which they have, took her into custody and she was killed. They haven't really given a formal cause of death yet through the government, but she was killed and she was taken into custody because she was dressed inappropriately. Start there. So now there's 10 days of protests that many people in Iran want the clothing mandate, the laws on dress or the dress code to be eliminated. But I don't want to go into the details of that as much as I want to go into details of what's happening. Elon Musk has now activated his Starlink internet service because the Iranian government had rolling blackouts and they shut down the internet. So some Iranian women protested. They were chanting words in Farsi, woman, life, freedom. But also the Iranian government, which is ruled by Ayatollah Khomeini, has been hit with tough economic sanctions, said he blamed foreign plots. The foreign ministry Sunday said it summoned Britain's ambassador for what they described as an invitation to riots, unconstructive comments. The foreign minister said the U.S. interventionists approach in the affairs of Iran, including its provocative actions in support of rioters. That's where I want to focus. I want to read something to you. This was canceled, but was going to happen as a part of the Department of Homeland Security. It was going to be the Disinformation Governance Board here in America. It was announced on April 27th. The board's stated function is to protect national security by disseminating guidance to Department of Homeland Security agencies on combating misinformation, malinformation, and disinformation that threatens the security of the homeland. Specifically, false information propagated by human smugglers is part of this, as well as Russian state disinformation on election interference. And also their working groups were paused pending review in the board's head. So this Disinformation Governance Board was supposed to protect you and me so that you were only being told the truth. Look what happened in the election cycle where you now have private entities that were working with the federal government in the last election cycle. You actually have Zuckerberg coming out and saying, we pushed down with algorithms on Facebook. We pushed down stories. To what extent, we don't know this, but they've admitted that there were stories that people didn't get to see or very few people got to see that related to the election based on being warned by the federal government that this might be misinformation about Hunter Biden or otherwise, that the government agents went to private media, whether it's Zuckerberg, whoever else, and said to them, you know, this looks a lot like disinformation. It's what this looks like. I'd be careful. And now you're hearing those companies regret and say, now in hindsight, knowing that the Hunter laptop is real, this is something we shouldn't have pushed down. Do you not see the parallel of an oppressive government like they have in Iran, where they control the information, the Chinese media and the algorithms and the information that is out? So the young people in China that use TikTok see an absolutely different usage of that in China than you see in America on TikTok. Absolutely different. You think that they're doing the dumb things in China on the internet and on TikTok? You think that the government's having them do that? That's what it's all about? It isn't. I'm not a conspiracy theorist on any level. I'm a freedom of speech person. I don't agree with many of the things that are said to me and about me or in general on social media, Twitter, otherwise. You're wrong. You're wrong about me. You're wrong about where I stand. You're wrong about issues. But I have the conversation. I would defend their right to say it. When we start having the government tell us what the truth is, we are on a slippery slope. And I will say to you that there is a very good chance, and most of you know it, that we will have a president of a different party in 2024. Do you want them having the power of appointing Homeland Security directors that are telling you what goes out and what gets called fake news or what gets called false information or disinformation? You want that? Do you want to see the opposite happen when the other side says that's not true, but this is? We all should be concerned about this. Every single one of us should have the right to argue the way we do. I'm out of time. You hear the music. I'll be back tomorrow morning just after 8 o'clock. So first of all, a big thank you for being here with me today for part of your day. I hope you can give him part of your day tomorrow. Until then, have a good afternoon and God bless.